even though it's a great day to be alive, we realize how much that we need you in our daily lives. Every minute of the day, for every situation of the day. So, Father, I submit myself to the Spirit of God to bring forth a message that every one of us need that has a mind. And everyone does have a mind. So I ask you to anoint the ears, the hearts, and the lives of those within the sound of my voice, as well as anointing my lips to speak only what you would have me to say. And I do believe that no word returns back to you void, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We're going to talk about the mind. Years back, I think it was 83, I did a series. And never came back to it full-heartedly, but I sense the need in that, because you're not going to be victorious until we get our minds renewed. Not removed. Romans chapter 8, look to verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You want to get rid of the anxiety, you got to become spiritually minded. Because it goes on to say in verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity, or is an enemy against God. Our carnal minds are enemies against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. How many want to please God? Amen. The mind can divide it into several areas. The imagination, reasoning, thought, logic, intellect, and all of these summed up comes under the heading of understanding. Let me give you one example of imagination. Look back to Genesis chapter 5. Your imagination is very powerful. A lot of people use their imagination in a negative way. They think long enough about killing somebody, and they eventually carry it out. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Well, if your imagination can be used for evil, it could also be used for good. Isn't that right? As I said before, those things we divided the mind up. Logic, reasoning, imagination, and thought sums up in the word understanding. With that in mind, the word understanding. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Is that me? What am I doing? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Look to 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. You could pray this prayer for yourself and for others. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. With that in mind, now let's look to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Too much we try to rely on our understanding when he's saying trust in your spirit, man. Now look to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Look back to verse 21. It says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now to be reconciled. See, I'm no longer an enemy in my mind by wicked works, especially toward God. Amen. God wants our minds to be set free, redirected, and renewed to the truth of God's word, so that you and I can walk in freedom. If our minds are not renewed to the word, we're not going to walk in a freedom that we choose to. Your mind did not get saved when you got the new birth. When you got born again, justification. Soul salvation is a process till Jesus comes or you leave this planet. That's sanctification. Then the last one, the glorification of your body, is at the rapture. Amen?
Amen.
We talked about the caterpillar before, so I'm going to just shorten this. But that process that the caterpillar goes through is the process of transformation. The caterpillar wraps a cocoon around himself and emerges sometime later as a beautiful butterfly. Isn't that something? A process of transformation took place, but there was the element of times involved. Sometimes you pray the prayer of faith and you don't receive immediately. Yes, you did in the spirit realm, but sometimes there's that time where you need faith and patience to inherit the promise. Well, in this metamorphosis, there's a process of time. And it says, and be not conformed, Romans 12:2, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many think they still need their minds renewed?
Amen.
Not removed. What did he go in for? Well, he needed a mind transplant. Transform is the Greek metamorpho, which means to change to another form. And the root word of transform is morphe, meaning to change inwardly on the inside. One of the major ways believers can close the door to the devil is to get their minds renewed with the word. How many are looking forward to doing that? That means you're not going to think like the world, act like the world, and be like the world. You'll be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? 1 Thessalonians now. First Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body, you are a triune being, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit in the Greek here is pneuma. Soul is psuche, and your body is soma. You are a three-part being, just like God is a triune being. Look over now to show you that the soul is not saved, to James chapter 1 and verse 21. Is this too boring for you? Good question, huh? James 1:21 says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Showing you that when you got saved, or someone led you in the believer's prayer, you are justified in your spirit. You know that mind didn't change much. It might have got a little illumination, but you know you still have stinking thinking. Isn't that right? So does everybody else. That make you feel better? James 3. "My brethren, being not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, this same is a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body." Now I'm going to make some comparisons here. Don't take it personal. But look at the horse here. See, it talks about the horse. Look at that as your physical body. The bit is your tongue. The rider is the spirit man, the real you. The reins is the will of man, which is part of your soul. This coming together? The bit is used by man in charge, applying pressure. When we apply pressure to our body using our tongue, the body will obey. Do you want to hear that again? The bit is used by man in charge, applying pressure. When we apply pressure to our body using our tongue, the body will obey. I don't think we keep at it long enough. Then in between, put some doubt and unbelief and seeds, and the pain hits, and we're back to square one again. Every day. I thought you were a different girl today, Bob. Get your hair cut. My God. 17-year-old now. Romans 12:2. Good to see you. Look to Romans 12:2. We quoted. Let's look to it. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good 30-fold, acceptable 60-fold, and perfect 100-fold will of God." The tongue will only begin to control the body when the mind or the reins on the horse is renewed to the word. A believer that doesn't have his mind renewed can't control his body. Like a horse with a man riding him with no reins, the horse runs wild. If you can't control the bit or the tongue, you can't control the body. Okay? Look there, back to James. Three, four. "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whatsoever the governor listeth." All right. The ship. equals our body in comparison. The winds are the fierce temptation and storms and trials that come against you to get you out of the game. The rudder is what? What do you think the rudder is?
Tongue.
The pilot is your spirit man. When you know the will of God, all that is left is a decision. You won't be moved if your tongue or the rudder is connected to your will, which is part of the soul, which is connected to your spirit. And the helm is your will. When you know the will of God, all that is left is a decision. You won't be moved if your tongue or your rudder is connected to your will or your soul, which is connected to your spirit. God's will is already set in His Word. This is the will of God. The Word is the will of God. You know that? Okay. Now, there's some specific areas. I mean, God says if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, that's clear in the Word. But then you may want to rely upon the Holy Spirit where you work. If you never had flying lessons, I don't suggest to you, for everybody else's sake, to go to the airport and tell them you want to fly in the pilot seat. You might be alone. You know what I'm saying? So that there are things that the Word has the general revealed will of God. Then you need the Spirit of God to say, yeah, you could take that job. And you know what would be your umpire? The peace of God. God's not out to fool you or trick you. But God's will is already set in His Word. And the pilot, wherever he wills, well, what if he's not willing to use the rudder against the temptations? The rudder will go wherever the winds take it. I looked at Proverbs 4. Is that right? Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Pay attention, it says, to his words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health. Yeah. That word there is marfa in the Hebrew, and it means medicine. And it's medicine to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I want to read some comments. Keep. See, the word keep is used twice. No, once. Keep thy heart. It means to preserve, protect one's desires or aspirations, delight or passions. The reason for keeping your heart is that anytime your affections, passions, or desires are divided, you lose the potential of force for change and the direction of things. So we've got to be single-minded. The only force that will change your world, your future, and your destiny is eternal life, or the Zoe life of God. And you have that on the inside of you. Look to James chapter 1. You're there in James. Was there in James. Let's go back. James chapter 1. Excuse me. James chapter 1. Let's look down to verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith nothing diakrino, wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in some of his ways. Wow, that's not a good place to be. We got to be single-minded. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, the term double-minded is in the Greek is dipsychos, which comes from the root dipsuche, or twice soulish. That's not good, huh? Twice soulish? It's bad not to be once soulish. It means a split personality, a divided heart. And a divided heart occurs when a man's spirit is reaching out in faith and his soul is reaching out in unbelief. That's a divided heart. Hebrews 4. You okay out there? Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is that. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of with whom we have to do. Only the word can divide asunder the spirit and soul. Only the word. Only the word. So you're going anywhere to get some counseling, you're better off going to someone who knows the word of God, or else you're just getting symptoms treated. When you want to lay the axe to the root, you have to know the word to do that. 1 Peter chapter 3. I listened to that first tape. It was in 1983. I was preaching on it. I sounded young. Well, seemed like it was easy to preach. And I was a lot younger. 83? Wow. Only 3 years after I was here, I preached on the mind. I don't know why. 1 Peter chapter 3. What I should have done was just come down and put the tapes in. No, this is a lot different, but I mean, I like that. 1 Peter chapter 3, isn't that right? No, we just want to get to verse 4. Excuse me. Looking for the hidden man of the heart. Verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. The hidden man of the heart is your spirit. You see, it's nothing wrong with having a meek and quiet spirit. It says in the sight of God, it's a great price. So the hidden man of the heart is your spirit man. The soulish man you could see outwardly
by their attitudes. Spirit man's deep inside. I mean, you can't tell from the outside if someone has a bad attitude or not? Or do you have to wait till they open their mouth? That'll really give them away. Right? So we can see the soulish part. Look to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look to verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You think that person in the flesh is your enemy? No. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the word of God or the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You can't think on anything you just want to think. It'll come to a ruination of you. Some form of discouragement or even destruction. Cast it down. Cast that image down. Those imaginations that are bad. Now, in these scriptures, we definitely see two distinct and opposite battles that are constantly going on in the mind of every Christian. The spirit wrestles against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. So we have to speak the word regardless of our feelings. Your feelings are important, but you can't be governed by them, because everybody's feelings are fickle. Aren't yours? Pickled. That's feelings. That's why we can get our feelings hurt. But now we're done with this series. You're going to be super pneumaticos.
That's right.
Super pneumaticos person. Can't say man, woman. You used to be able to say super pneumaticos man. Super pneumaticos person. Doesn't sound as strong, huh? Super pneumaticos woman. James chapter 4. And you've had enough after this. Timmy's voice is coming from somewhere other than the front. What's he on the floor? Oh, he's watching the door. Well, I'm not going to add to that about Charles. Charles is gone, all right. Praise God. You know what? He was saying, I don't know if I'm coming back. You know, I guess he wanted to say, well, we'll miss you if you don't come back. So I said, Charles, we'll miss you if you don't come back. Talk about your words. Let's pray he gets back. James 4, and we're stopping. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's the first order. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Is not the scriptures? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now, you had enough word to last you all week. Amen? So, and there's more to go, but it's a lot there. Because we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 next week. So, let us stand. You got a lot of time to enjoy.